Making mistakes is a natural part of learning Chinese, but how can you make sure you learn as much as possible from the mistakes you make? The answer can be anything from ignore them to stop everything you're doing and fix this, and it all depends on what kind of mistake you've made. Hello and welcome to the Hacking Chinese podcast. In this week's episode, we are going to talk about mistakes and errors. And we make mistakes when we speak, whether it's our native language, a language we've studied for a long time, or if it's a new language. When we speak our native language or languages, we make mistakes all the time. Sometimes we fix them and sometimes we just don't bother. And somehow this feels okay. Very few people go around worrying about making mistakes in their native language. We believe in our ability to communicate anyway, and it's just not a part of what we're thinking about, even though of course we make mistakes. This is true for foreign languages as well, even though we have studied them for a long time. For example, when I record this podcast in English, which is obviously not my native language, I notice a lot of mistakes that I make when I speak English and that only are apparent to me in editing. So the problem isn't usually that I don't know how something is said, it's just that there are so many things to think about, such as what I'm going to say, the actual content, and then I have to worry about tricky long sentences and agreement between verb and object and so on. And that's one type of error, but there are of course others. For example, when we first start learning a language, we make many mistakes simply because we don't know better, we haven't heard anything in this area and we're simply guessing. And that's a different kind of mistake. Sometimes when we've learned a language for a little longer, we might have internalized a rule or a pattern, but then it turns out that this pattern is actually not the right pattern, or it's not the pattern that native speakers use or rely on. And then that's a different kind of mistake or error again. And this is exactly what we're going to talk about in this podcast episode. Different types of mistakes and errors and what to do about them. Before we do that though, we are coming up on the second anniversary of the Hacking Chinese podcast, and just like last time, I will try to make a Q&A session for the anniversary, so if you have any questions for me about learning and teaching Chinese, you can chat me up on social media or send an email to editor@hackingchinese.com. If you listen to this episode after the anniversary, you can of course still send your questions to me and I will gather them and try to answer them in an upcoming episode. Okay, so let's get into mistakes and errors. Like I said, making mistakes is a natural part of learning and it's impossible to learn a language without making mistakes. That's simply not how it works. Now, if you spend a lot of time listening and reading before you start speaking and writing, you are likely to decrease the number of mistakes you make by quite a lot, since this provides you with the input you need to build a mental model of the language. And of course, if you're trying to say things that you've never heard, it's much less likely that you'll get it right. However, even though I do think input is extremely important, as any regular listener of the podcast will know, I don't think that listening and reading only is the best approach for most students. Part of the reason for this is that we can mostly find positive evidence of how Chinese is used if we listen and read a lot. In other words, we will get exposed to how words are used, how things are pronounced, and so on, correctly, but we won't get much negative evidence, i.e. how words cannot be used and how the language doesn't work. In a sense, learning a language can be seen as establishing a mental model for how the language works and then being able to apply that in different situations. Since we can't just copy this model from a native speaker directly into our brains, even though that would be very handy, that means that we will have tentative ideas for how the language works, we will have a hypothesis that we want to test. And if we only receive positive evidence, some of our problems with our mental models can linger for quite a long time, whereas if you speak and write the language, you will get feedback from other people when you say something that doesn't match their mental model of how the language works, hence you get this negative evidence telling you what you shouldn't do, and this can also help you to fix or to tweak your mental models, getting them a little bit closer to those of native speakers. Hence, I think that mistakes and errors can be very valuable for improving your Chinese, but it all depends on what types of mistakes and what types of errors we're talking about, because some of them are not very important and we can ignore them, whereas others are extremely important and we should do our best to fix them as quickly as possible. The first question we need to address is, how do you know that you've made a mistake? And sometimes this is obvious. Someone just tells you you're wrong or you can't say it like this. And then you know you're wrong and you've made a mistake and you can do something about it. But this is not always obvious. People have many different ways of showing you that you've done something wrong. And some people don't do it at all. This is something we talked about in episode 8 of the podcast, where we talked about how to get honest feedback to boost your Chinese speaking and writing. And there we discussed two different types of feedback. We talked about implicit feedback. So that's feedback that people give you without explicitly telling you that you're doing something wrong. It could be that they look confused maybe, or they misunderstand what you say, or they indicate somehow that what you're saying is hard to understand or that you've made a mistake, but they don't tell you directly. Then we have explicit feedback, where people correct you directly, but this is rather rare unless you have a good friend who really knows that you care about this and want people to point out when you make a mistake, or if you hire a teacher to help you improve your Chinese. Although you shouldn't count on teachers always pointing out things that are wrong, there are many teachers who don't, because many learners react very negatively when they are corrected, and so some teachers just don't do it unless they really know that the student wants them to. Since you are, of course, a smart and rational learner, you want people to point out your mistakes so that you can improve, and then it's very important that you behave in a way that encourages this. The person who has given you feedback has done you a favor after all, and so this is how you should treat this situation. Be positive, smile, maybe ask a question to make sure you understood the mistake you made, and definitely never ever shoot the messenger. The fact that they pointed out something that you did that was incorrect doesn't mean that they created the problem. It was there all along, and the only difference between them pointing it out and them not pointing it out is that you become aware of the problem yourself. This can be frustrating, disappointing, embarrassing, and so on, but try to think of it as the learning opportunity it is, and you might find it a bit easier to take. So, from the perspective of the person giving you feedback, it is not obvious what type of mistake or error that you've made and how serious it is. They just know that something didn't make sense or didn't sound right to them. But we as learners want to think about this one step further, because we might want to do something about this after the conversation is over. And what we do depends on what type of mistake or error it is. So now we're going to go through four different types of mistakes and errors and see what you should do about them, if anything. These are careless mistakes, which means you know what's right, but you messed it up for some reason. Uninformed mistakes, you can't be expected to know what's right, and so you messed it up. Isolated errors, you know what's right, but it just doesn't apply in this particular case. And finally, systematic errors, you think you know what's right, but it's actually wrong. These categories are created to help you analyze your errors and decide what to do about them. Normally, when we speak about these things, though, people don't make a systematic difference between a mistake and an error and so on, so this is more a model you can use to apply to your own learning. In general, though, a mistake is something that isn't connected to a problem in the underlying model, whereas error is used when there is a problem with the underlying model. And we'll see what this means in a minute if it's not clear. So let's get started with the first category. Careless mistakes. You know what's right, but you mess it up for some reason. And here we have slips of the tongue and typos. So a characteristic of this type of mistake is that you can find it yourself if you re-listen to or read something that you've written. These mistakes stand out and you know that they are wrong and you could fix them, but for some reason you messed it up in the moment. This type of mistake happens to us Chinese learners all the time. Maybe we say something with the wrong tone, even though we know it's the wrong tone, it just came out the wrong way for some reason. And if we repeat it again, it will probably be right this time. Or it can be when we type, we accidentally type the wrong D and simply don't notice. If you notice these mistakes as you say or write them, you should try to fix them, not only because it's nice and improves communication, but it's also good to pay attention and try to decrease the number of mistakes if possible. Normally, though, this type of mistake is not very interesting from a learning perspective, because you already know what's right. The fact that you made a mistake could be due to many reasons. For example, when we speak Chinese, there are so many things going on, we have to process everything at once and produce something that works in Chinese, and that is hard. And sometimes we will just be overloaded and make mistakes, and that's fine. If we know what the right way to say it is, that will gradually take over and you will make less and less mistakes. No problems, don't worry. However, when somebody else gives you feedback about these typos, slips of the tongue, and so on, they don't know that. Like I said, they can't know if you know how to say this actually. They just hear that you said something wrong, or they see that you made a typo or something. This can actually be rather frustrating, so if you hand in a written assignment and you want feedback on your Chinese, it's a little bit disappointing if you only receive feedback on typos, like there's a list of these characters you typed incorrectly, even though you already know this. And this is actually a good reason to try to avoid them, because the less obvious mistakes you make, the more likely it is that someone will actually point out things that you didn't know and that you maybe should do something about. So to summarize, careless mistakes are not very interesting for language learning. They don't tell you anything you didn't know already, and so we can move on to the next category. Uninformed mistakes, or you can't be expected to know what's right, and so you mess it up. This happens all the time, especially as a beginner, when you don't really have any idea of how to say something and you just guess. It's not that you have a carefully formed hypothesis of how something is supposed to be said, you test it and you find, oh no, actually I'm wrong, it's just you wing it or you guess based on English or something else. While you could try to avoid this type of mistake by reading and listening an awful lot before you even start speaking and writing, this is not practical for most people, so most of us will make a lot of mistakes in this category throughout our Chinese learning lives. The best way to treat this type of mistake is to view it as a learning opportunity, because that's exactly what it is. For example, if it rains a lot and you've never said this in Chinese, it's maybe tempting to say something like 雨很重, not knowing that 重 cannot be used to express heavy rain, although we do say that in English. Instead, Chinese people just use da, so there is a big rain, which sounds weird in English, but that's just the way we say it in Chinese. And now you know that because somebody pointed it out to you. And this is a learning opportunity, it's input, you hear or you see this new phrase and so you can learn it. If it's something important you want to be able to say correctly and you don't think you'll run into it all the time, because then you learn it anyway, you might want to take notes. You can maybe add it to the flashcard program of your choice as well. Now we're leaving mistakes behind and we start talking about errors instead. And so errors are problems with your underlying model. So the first type is isolated errors. You know what's right, but it doesn't apply in this particular case. The difference here is that now you have an idea of how something works and you think you know how it works because you've learned it or studied it or observed it. But then when you use it, you figure out that no, it cannot be used in this particular case and thus you need to adjust your mental model for that particular part of the language. If that sounds a bit abstract, let's look at a few examples. One thing that comes up a lot in beginner courses is the use of 和, as in and. And in English we can say sentences like I just said, you just use and to link clauses together. So for example, I can say I like to watch movies and I also like playing basketball. Sounds a bit textbooky, but it's still grammatical English. In Chinese, however, 和 doesn't work like this and you cannot use it to link clauses in this way. A beginner might say something like 我喜欢看电影和我也喜欢打篮球, which is wrong. This doesn't mean you have to relearn 和 from scratch and you've misunderstood how it's used completely, because of course it can be used to mean 和, and that is one of the basic meanings of this word. And you can say things like 我会说英文和法语, in case you can speak English and French. A similar example might be if you have learned the word for year, which is 年, but you haven't figured out yet that you can't use this word to describe somebody's age, because then you have to use 岁 instead. So saying something like 他五年, for he's 5 years old, is wrong and you're supposed to say 他五岁. So what should you do if you figure out you've made an error like this? The most important thing is to pay attention and make sure you know what the error actually was, which can be tricky sometimes. You might not hear the difference if it's pronunciation, for example, or you might not appreciate the nuance if it's grammar or something else. It's also hard to gauge the scope of a problem like this, because it could be that it's just one isolated case, which is what we're talking about here, but it could also be that this is part of a pattern, and the only way to figure out which it is if you collect enough examples to show that there is a pattern, or if a professional tells you that you have this systematic error in your pronunciation or grammar. But that is rather difficult to do, and most people will not just spontaneously tell you that, hey, do you know that you have a problem with this tone combination, or do you know that you use this particular type of grammar pattern incorrectly? That requires experience and also a lot of exposure to your Chinese to be able to see this pattern emerging. I've figured out many pronunciation errors myself by simply taking notes. And maybe someone says, hey, you say this word incorrectly. And then somebody else says, hey, you also say that word incorrectly. And when you've noted this down for a bit, you see, wait, there's a pattern here. All these words contain a third tone in the first position in a two-syllable word, or something like that. It needn't be very complicated, and you don't necessarily need to be Sherlock Holmes to figure these things out. Simply paying attention and taking notes will take you pretty far. So finally, we have now arrived at systematic errors, i.e. you think you know what's right, but you actually don't. It's wrong. This is what you arrive at when you've observed enough isolated errors, meaning that they are no longer isolated, they are part of a pattern. And this means that there is something wrong with the underlying mental model, and you need to change it or completely replace it. This can happen when you form an hypothesis of how something works in Chinese, but it's actually wrong, although it's not immediately apparent that it is wrong, because the positive evidence that you see, i.e. Chinese used correctly, doesn't really offer you any opportunities to spot the discrepancy between what you think is right and what actually is right. And this goes back to what I said in the beginning about input and output. Because when you speak and write, other people can probe your hypotheses, your mental models, and check if they are right. A good example of this is the innocent-looking particle le, which is sometimes introduced and understood as a past tense marker. And this is wrong. It's in fact one of the things that I included in my list of 7 things you were told in Chinese class, but that are actually wrong, link in the description. But it's easy to believe that it is right, at least as a beginner, because it kind of works in many of these types of sentences that you see as a beginner. If this is the first you hear about this, Chinese grammar usually doesn't talk about tense at all, and most people don't think that Chinese has tense. Instead, we have something called aspect, and the key difference here is that aspect refers to the status or state of an action. Is it completed? Is it ongoing? And so on. And le here is a completion marker. This is different from tense because that talks about when something happens, like on a timeline. Is it in the past? Is it in the present? Is it in the future? But you can have completed actions in the future or in the present or in the past. That's not the key point here. But if you think that it is a past tense marker, that you think le is a past tense marker, then you will go around and think that for a long time until you say something which fits your mental model but really doesn't fit the native speaker, and they will tell you the sentence you wrote here is wrong, and you might ask, but well, it took place yesterday, so I should have this le. And then hopefully someone will explain that no, you don't actually need le to express past tense because we don't have any past tense in Chinese. Naturally, the average person on the street will not be able to explain this to you in English, but if you observe many isolated errors like this, you might sooner rather than later figure out that there's something wrong with my idea here. This is not how it works. I thought it worked like this, but these examples show that it doesn't. You go online, you search a bit, and you find out how it actually works. Another example of this might be the third tone, which I mention quite a lot on the podcast because it's such a common problem. We talked about it in episode 26, but to put it very briefly, the third tone is usually a low tone, but many people pronounce it as a rising tone, I mean many students. So for example, if you're an American and you pronounce your country as Meiguo with a rising tone on the first syllable, it's wrong. It should be a low tone, Meiguo. If you check out the written article about the third tone and scroll down to the comments, and there are a lot of them, you can see many students who say that this article changed the way they regarded the third tone and that it has helped them immensely to learn it. And that is because their underlying model for how this tone works was wrong and they needed a new one. So this is a good example of a systematic error. Like I said, spotting these systematic errors might be rather easy sometimes, but usually it's not. It requires a little bit of detective work or a professional helping you out. They are very important though, and this is the type of error you should probably try to fix as soon as possible, especially if it's related to pronunciation, as the longer you wait, the harder it will get to fix. I found out my problem with the third tone after having studied for about a year and a half, and it was a pain to fix. If I had spotted that after 3 months, it wouldn't have been much of a problem, I think. Of course, a year and a half is still okay. There are people who figure out they have some basic misunderstanding of how something works after studying for much longer than that, and it's much harder to fix. So if you suspect that you have a systematic error, probe it. Try to create situations where you think that you are right, but you might actually be wrong. Try it out with native speakers and see what they say. And if you find out that indeed your mental model is wrong, well, this is a great learning opportunity. And while it might not feel very nice to realize that you have a very basic problem with your Chinese, it's still always much better to know about the problem. Again, don't shoot the messenger. The problem was there all the time, and now you know about it. And that doesn't feel good, but it's much better than the problem being there, but you not knowing about it. Once you know that there is a systematic error, you can learn how it's supposed to be pronounced or spoken or written or whatever it is, and then you can start paying attention to what people say and write, and gradually update your mental model. It's time to wrap up this episode, and to summarize, we can say that mistakes are not terribly interesting for us as language learners, at least not for the process of learning the language. It might be important to fix mistakes in a certain situation, but in general, they are not very interesting. When it comes to errors, however, that's something that indicates that we have missed something, we've misunderstood something, and that is something we do need to adjust. And by being aware of these problems, we can then pay more attention when we read and listen, gradually update our models, and then one day we will have gotten rid of a systematic error and our Chinese will be much better for it. Thank you for tuning in to the Hacking Chinese podcast. If you like this episode, please share it. More information and inspiration about learning and teaching Chinese can be found at hackingchinese.com. See you in the next episode, and until then, good luck with your studies.